Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is entitled Proclamation, and it's part of a series that's entitled The Plan. God has a plan for your life. When we experience new birth and serve Jesus by faith, it's up to us to discern God's plan and proclaim it. Everyone is proclaiming something. Are you proclaiming God's plan? I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
Ephesians chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. This message is part 3 in our series entitled The Plan. And I don't mean this to sound cliche-ish because it's a reality. God has a plan. God has a plan for every person, and it's important that we govern our lives by this truth. So important that every day you wake up, you realize that God's got a plan for you. He has plans for you, and it's up to us to discern that plan. Every life has meaning. Every life has purpose, and it's for us to discern that and step into that purpose. And throughout this series, we've been using the Christmas story as the example of God's plan. God had a plan to redeem mankind from their sins, and that plan was put into place with the birth of Christ, being at the right place at the right time. So Ephesians chapter 2 has been our key verse throughout the series. And it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And God has plans for us, each and every one of us, created in God's image. All of us are created in God's image, his likeness, and plans that God has prepared for us to walk in them. And that's why we must discern his plans. Remember, when we fulfill God's purpose, that's when we glorify God the most. And that's when we experience the most peace and contentment in life, is when we fulfill our purpose. Mary and Joseph, they had a plan. I mean, can you imagine putting yourself in their shoes? They have this plan of wedding bliss, I'm sure, starting their lives together, starting a family together. But God interrupts that plan. He steps in and says, wait a minute, I have a plan. Reveals that plan to them. And they don't reject that plan by faith. They step into that plan and fulfill a purpose. And that purpose was that Mary's womb and the Holy Spirit would overcome her. And she would, and that which was in her would be Christ, the Lord. I mean, that's faith. That's courage. What an incredible story. And thank God they trusted in the Lord. Amen? Because you and I wouldn't be here today. Thank God that someone made a decision to follow God's plan. And I just want to mention this today. Each and every one of us, we're here because someone chose to obey God's plan. Every one of us. We're not here by accident. Someone shared the gospel with you. Someone shared God's story with you, God's plan, and you responded to that plan. And so thank God for people who step into God's plan and fulfill it. There's two keys we've covered so far in this series. Number one's been timing. Number two is position. We need to be in the right place at the right time. But that doesn't take place by chance or accident. We purposely put ourselves in the right place, in the right time, in the midst of God's plan. This morning I want to talk to you about the third factor. That's the third part of the series, and it's proclamation. Proclamation. God has plans involving time, position, and proclamation. God's plans are meant to be proclaimed through us. That was a good place to say amen, but you failed. All right. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Now that we're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people,'" not just certain people, "all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. God revealed his plan to these men, or these shepherds. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17, now when they had seen him, look at this, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. Verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by who? By the shepherds, the first human messengers of the gospel, the first ones to proclaim the birth of Christ were shepherds. God chose Bethlehem, the birthplace of King David, to reveal the Messiah, and he proclaimed beforehand through the prophet Micah 700 years prior, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and he would shepherd his people. And that's a prophecy that took place again 700 years prior before it was fulfilled. And prophecy is simply this, it's proclaiming God's will. It's proclaiming God's will. The angel appeared to the shepherds who were watching over their flocks, and they proclaimed to them the good news. The plan had come into action. God's plan for salvation, a Savior had been born, and that Savior was born in Bethlehem, and it was Christ the Lord. The shepherds go into the village themselves, find the babe as told to them by the angels, as the angel had proclaimed. After seeing the Messiah, the shepherds go away, and what do they do? What's the first thing they do? They proclaim to all what they saw and what they heard. Church, that should be a big clue for us today. The angels proclaimed to these shepherds what was going to take place or what had taken place. They go into Bethlehem, find the babe themselves. They understand what they've seen, what they've heard is true, and they go and make that known to others, to all. They proclaim God's plan. I think it's interesting when we look at the birthplace of the church, which is in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost. They had this great experience with the Holy Spirit, but they didn't just stand there and have church. They got outside of those walls, and what did they do? They went immediately out into the temple courts and began to proclaim the good news. See, listen, there is a pattern throughout God's word because there's a plan, and the plan is this, that you receive the good news, you experience redemption, and you share that story, and you proclaim it to others. They proclaim God's plan. God's calling upon our life is the same. It's not, God's plan is not just meant for clergy to proclaim. The pulpit is important, but the pulpit that you have is far greater. Listen, I'm one man in one church. You are many more. You all have a pulpit. You all have a place to proclaim Christ. See, God didn't call one person in this community or a couple people, a couple pastors in this community to win this community. He's called you and I to win this community. That's God's plan. God's plan of salvation is ordained by God to be proclaimed. My question this morning for you this morning is this. Are you proclaiming God's plan? Are you proclaiming God's plan? See, God has a plan for your life, every one of you. Every one of us, God has a plan. And by faith, we have to step into that plan daily because we're all proclaiming something. Whether you like it or not, you're proclaiming something. But you can look at social media. What are you proclaiming? How you live your life out in public, you're proclaiming something. We're all proclaiming something. The word proclamation means this, a public or official announcement, especially one dealing with a matter of great importance. And here's the last part of it, to demonstrate clearly. To demonstrate clearly. It's interesting that word proclamation in the English, if you look it up, kind of comes from the Latin and the French. And it's from the word proclamare. And it means this, to shout out. See, some of you thought shout out something new. Want to give a shout out to? No, give a shout out to Jesus, amen? I mean, that's not something new, it's something old. It means to make known, it's meant to demonstrate, it means to declare. So when we proclaim Christ, we're not just speaking, all right? We're living. We're living testimonies of what God has done in us and through us. So if you're going to give a shout out, give a shout out to Jesus. Amen? We get so busy with ourselves. And I love the holiday season. I love it. The reason why I love this time of season because of we're celebrating the birth of Christ. The reason I can't stand it because we get so busy, and it seems like when we come to celebrate,
When we come to celebrate together as a church, sometimes that is left off the list. And sometimes we get so busy with other things, we forget the purpose of this season. And we say, no, I know it's Jesus and it's the reason for the season. No, there's a plan. And are we sharing God's plan? Are we revealing God's plan to others? The greatest gift you'll give someone is not some toy. It's not some money. It's not a gift card. It's the gift of life. Amen? It is the gift of life. And I would say this, that we are too busy in our church with other things, with our own plans, and we're not walking out God's plan as faithfully as we should. You say, how do I know that? I'll know that when this church is filled. Any church. Not just ours, but any church. See, when God's house is filled, that says this, that there are some people that have gotten a hold of God's plan. If I ask you this question, how or what is God's plan for your life? How would you answer that? How would you answer? Because everybody has a plan. God's got a plan for each and every one of you. How would you answer that plan? Some of you might describe it this way, my occupation. And that might be the case. Your occupation may be part of God's plan. God may have given you the necessary ability and talent to do a job, but that is not necessarily God's plan for your life. Are you following me? See, God's given you a plan in order to proclaim. He's given you a set of abilities, a set of talents, opportunity to proclaim Christ. So there will be proof, there will be evidence. Well, Pastor, I enjoy my job. I have peace. I'm talented. I receive accolades from superiors, from associates, from clients. That may be the case. But listen, are we looking at the accolades of men as evidence and proof that we're doing God's plan? We're fulfilling His plan. I'm talking about souls, church. I'm always going to come back to this subject because this is God's plan. It's to share the gospel. It's not just to come to church. It's to share Jesus. Each and every one of you, you have a platform to proclaim God's love. Are you proclaiming it? God's plan, the plan deals specifically with souls. It's redemption. How are you furthering God's plan? Pastor, I got saved. That's great. But I think we're missing it. Listen, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. If you're born again, that can't be hidden. See, you're proclaiming something. See, some of us said, well, I'm born again. What's your life proclaiming? See, I don't care what you say. The difference is how we live. It's not what we believe. Anybody can believe on Jesus. Bible even says that. Even the demons believe and tremble. It's not a matter of up here. It's a matter of here and how we live. Mankind is our business. Mankind is our business. Lost men and women are our business. God gave you a job, and that's your business. That's your business, your job. Our job is to proclaim God's business. How many of you want job security? Raise your hand. You always want job security, right? Proclaim God's word, you will. Proclaim God's will. Proclaim Christ. You'll always have job security. You know why? Because on your job, there are going to be plenty of lost people there. You'll always have job security. You say, well, Pastor, I might get into trouble if I begin talking about Christ. Well, that's fine. Listen, there are plenty of opportunities, friend. Are we going to put our plans before God's? That's what I'm just trying to say. See, Mary and Joseph, they had a plan. What did they do? They could have said no. Mary could have said, no way, I'm going to start my family, pick someone else. But once she heard God's plan and what God wanted to do, both of them step into that plan. All I'm saying is we all have a choice to discern God's plan and then to step in it. Well, I might lose my job if I share Jesus with my coworkers, or I might lose clients or business associates if I proclaim Christ so transparently. Remember, church, what we proclaim is God's plan. God's plan may not always unfold how you like, but if we are faithful, if we promote His plans, Jesus, don't you think you'll find success? Won't that be a byproduct? Pastor, I'm talented, I'm successful, and that's a sign that God is pleased with me. Have you ever heard of preachers who have been at the top of their ministry that have fallen so far? I've known stories of pastors who have done great things, are doing incredible, God's using, miracles are performed through them, and then it's revealed their sin in their life. And at the same time they were doing such great things for God, they were in sin. See, we can't always look at our occupation as results of God's favor. So if that exists in this part of the world, If this happens in the church, don't you think it's going to happen outside of these four walls in the secular world? Absolutely. 100%. Don't you think for a minute that Satan won't get you to a place where look how successful you are, that's God's blessing you, only to set you up. Don't always look at what man says as proof of God's blessing. We may have success, but are we successful in God's kingdom? I want to challenge you this morning, church. There is a community outside of these four walls. Some of them, they think they know everything about being saved. They think they are saved. There are people that go to our church who believe they're saved. And I've said this before, I'll never preach in this building as if everyone is saved, because I don't believe it. I believe that we have a lot of religion. We have a lot of belief. We have a lot of tradition. But we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God's given some of you an incredible skill set, talent, to succeed in business. That's great. But you're called to further God's kingdom. Wouldn't it be terrible for us to live our lives, leave this wonderful inheritance to our kids, our bank accounts are full, only to get to heaven to find out that our bank account in heaven is empty and is void of the most important thing? The most important thing is souls. Remember this, the only thing that will last eternity is life, is the human life, is the soul. So therefore, the most important thing in heaven is souls. Remember, we're going to be walking on streets of gold, just walking on it, trampling it. Something we count precious here, we're just trampling on in heaven, because souls are the most important thing. God's given you a set of skills to make a living, but it's not your purpose, because mankind is your purpose. They are your business, Scrooge. If you've watched the classic, you know what I'm talking about. Mankind is our business. God gave you those skills to proclaim Jesus. Many of us have grown up in church, grown up in Assembly of God churches, experienced Pentecost, but have never personally led a person to Christ. Now, how can that be? How can that be? Don't tell me you're too introverted. Because, see, every one of you, if you're born again, you have a testimony of how you encountered Jesus, of how Jesus saved you. See, you don't have to ever argue with a person about the gospel. You don't ever have to argue with a person about whether the Bible is true. All you have to do is share your story of how God saved you and how God changed you. How can they argue with that? That's your experience. That's your life. That's what has occurred with you. See, so many times we want to pull out the Bible and debate it with people. Why are you debating the Bible with people who aren't saved? Why are you debating the Bible that people don't believe? Why don't you share with them what God's done in your life? See, you've got a skill set. You've got talents. You've all got abilities. But God's given you another skill set, and that's to further his plan. If we fail to proclaim Christ, that's our ordained opportunity, in our jobs, in our community, we fail God's plan. We fail God's plan. Listen, there is a way, Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it is the way of death. Am I saying that if you're not fulfilling God's plan, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. If we refuse, or if we turn aside from fulfilling God's plan for our life, sharing, proclaiming Christ, someone is going to die. People are going to die. I don't really believe that we have a great grasp of the reality of hell in our lives. Church, the only hope for man is Jesus. Not a political, you can bomb, you can exterminate all you want, but there will be another religion and there will be another obstacle and it will be even more evil. And all I'm just saying is this, the world's not going to change by a political solution. It's not going to solve by economics. It's not going to be solved by prosperity. It's going to be solved by sharing Jesus. Now, we may not be able to change the world or halfway around the world, but we can sure make sure that this world changes that we live in. Amen? And that's our business. That's God's calling upon our lives. That's what he's called each and every one of us to do. The job of a pastor is not to go out and win the souls. The job of the pastor is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But we've allowed this to take place to where we just say, well, that's the preacher's job. No, that's our job, because mankind is our business. Our business is to proclaim God's truth, to proclaim God's word. That's our plan. That's God's plan. Jesus redeemed you. If you are born again, he has redeemed you. And I want you to think about that word redemption. What does that mean? It means to be bought back. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20, for you were bought at a price. That price was the blood of Jesus. Look what he says after this. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God owns you if he's redeemed you. And for a moment, I hope you're getting what I'm saying now. See, you've been redeemed for a purpose. Yes, God saved you from your sins, but if you think that's all it's about, Bubba, you're wrong. It's bigger than ourselves. Because now that you're redeemed, now that you're saved, you then have an opportunity to proclaim, because there are other people around you who desperately need Jesus. Jesus bought you with a price, paid for you with his blood. Why? To redeem you so that you could step into God's plan for your life. You cannot fulfill God's plan for your life until you're redeemed. I don't care how successful you are. You could be the president of the United States. You could be a great athlete. You could be a great artist. You can do wonderful things for humanity. But until you are born again, you can't step into God's plan. But once you are born again and you step into that plan, the church, we need to do so. Can you imagine standing before the judgment seat of Christ? Because if you're born again, you'll stand that place. And can you imagine saying, well, God, I was a great employee. I was a good businessman. I was a talented artist, a great athlete. But he looks into your eternal bank account and there's nothing in there. Nothing in there. There's no souls. There's no evidence of lives that were changed, impacted. We glorify God the most when our faith and our repentance moves us to the place of fulfilling God's plan. Remember this verse again, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a plan. It'll take place, but we have to walk into that plan. We have a choice. We have a decision. We're not automated. We're not robots. You have a faith decision. If God has a plan for something to occur, I go back to the example of Mary and Joseph. If she said no, God would have had another virgin in mind. That was his choice. That was his decision. But you have a decision. Are you going to walk in God's plan? That word workmanship, when I look at it, it reminds me of what God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah. And this is something we sing songs about. Jeremiah 18:3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Listen, we are clay in his hands. He's molding us. He's shaping us. We are his workmanship. And he's created that pottery, that vessel for a purpose. Are you fulfilling that purpose? You say, what's that purpose? I don't know what God's called you to as an occupation, but I can tell you what God's plan is. God's plan is you to proclaim the gospel, each and every one of us. Every one of us. Everyone in this room, we're proclaiming something. What are you proclaiming? When the potter places the clay on the wheel, he doesn't consult the clay and say, what do you want to be? What do you want to be when you grow up? See, he's made, none of you asked to be born, by the way. And if we truly believe there is a creator, and he's God, he creates every person with purpose. Every person, you have a purpose. Are you fulfilling that purpose? And that purpose will have this. You are to glorify God. That is the purpose of every person, is to glorify your creator. God, when we step into our purpose and we fulfill God's plan for our lives, we glorify God the most. We bring him the most glory. See, the old man, he wants to do what he wants to do. You ever struggle with that? Your old man, it wants to do what it wants to do. But see, God's redeemed you and you have a new man inside, and you have to live according to that standard. God has placed in that new man his plan. That's why you have to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you'll go through life. You'll never have the true peace and contentment that God has planned for you. But when you fulfill God's purpose for your life, you'll have the greatest amount of peace. You may not have all the accolades and success that you had in the world, but you'll have something far greater, knowing that you're fulfilling a purpose. Why was Jesus able to do what he did? Why was Jesus, I mean, think about that. He's God in the flesh. And he comes down. Listen, Jesus wasn't just born in Bethlehem of Judea. He pre-existed that. He's a member of the Godhead. He's eternally existent. Mary conceived of the Holy Spirit. And that which was conceived in her was Christ. Now, why was Jesus able to proclaim, not my will, but yours be done? He's God in the flesh. How could he do this? Humility. He was humble. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. This is describing Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You know what, church? If we're going to be more like Christ, because that's what we are as Christians, we're called to be more like Jesus each and every day, transforming us, the Holy Spirit transforming us as we yield ourselves to him. If that's ever going to happen, it's humility. We must humble ourselves. How many of you have ever been humbled before? Oh, isn't that great? Isn't that just great when God humbles you? It's not. That's why, humble yourself, amen? Humble yourself. Jesus was God in the flesh, co-equal member of the Trinity. But he humbles himself the most in the Godhead, becomes flesh, dwells among us, and he humbles himself. I mean, he could say, why don't you send the Holy Spirit? Let him die. Why don't you, the Father, go and die? No, he humbled himself, became obedient to the cross. When we truly grasp that reality, we understand what true humility is, and we approach life the same way as Jesus, as we're supposed to, we understand this. It's not my will, but yours be done. Well, God, I got plans. I got a plan. This is what I want to do. No, friend, it's about what God wants. See, he's redeemed you. He's bought you back from a purpose. You may make it to heaven, but again, wouldn't it be a terrible thing to get to heaven and God would have you rich and you're flat, broke, and busted? Why? Because there's no souls in your account. I don't believe the blood of Jesus was shed for us to be willy-nilly as Christians. God has a plan for us. Enter that plan. Step into it. Complacency is of the devil. I'm telling you, it's wishy-washy Christianity. God's not called you just to come sit on a pew, hear me spout off a few things. God's called you to reach people. You all have a testimony. Some of you have a dramatic testimony. Some of you say, well, I grew up in church all my life. I never did anything wrong. I never went with bad girls, bad boys. I did the right thing. You got a wonderful testimony. In fact, your testimony is the testimony we should all have. That we had a godly heritage. But some of us didn't grow up in that capacity. Some of us had heathens for parents, like my dad. I'm just saying that we all have a testimony. Your testimony will be able to relate to certain people, and it may not be able to relate to someone else. But proclaim the gospel. God, listen, when you're on the job, you're doing your job. You know when you're working with someone, and you're in that fellowship of work. You have an opportunity. You have a wonderful opportunity. Well, Pastor, I work here and I work there. I'm not going to be able to bring people to this church. Who cares if they come to this church? Just expand God's kingdom, and God will take care of Holt Assembly of God by himself. God has a purpose. He gives you opportunities. He gives you ability. There's a time and a place to fulfill his plans. Are you fulfilling his plan? Pastor, is it God's plan for me to proclaim the gospel? Yes! I don't even have to think about it. Yes, absolutely. It's not just the pastor's job. His job is to train you, equip you. I know you've had boneheads in this pulpit before that they believe that the purpose was you to bring them to them. So they can just, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to equip you and train you and release you. The Bible is very clear about the subject. Pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, they are called to equip the saints for the gospel. What are you proclaiming? What are you proclaiming through social media? Who do people know who you are in Christ? How do they recognize you? What are you proclaiming on your job? What are you proclaiming in to your coworkers, to your associates? Do they know who you are in Christ? What are you proclaiming in your home? What is your public life like? What is your private life like? See, we're all proclaiming something. What are we proclaiming? Are we proclaiming God's plan? Or are we proclaiming our life? See, in this culture, our culture teaches this. Live out loud. Live proud. Come out of the closet. Be who you are. God's made you this way. There's such a lie in this world, and our flesh loves it. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. Our plans, if they don't have God at the center, will lead to death. Like I said, you could be saved, and that plan, not fulfilling your plan, may not lead to your spiritual death, but it's going to lead to the spiritual death of someone else. What happens when we fail to fulfill God's plan? Have you ever watched the classic, the Christmas classic, It's a Wonderful Life? You know, I love the themes in the show. Some of you may not be into black and white, but you're going to get to watch it anyways. In the show, we understand he gets the opportunity. George gets to see the opportunity of what life would be without him. Essentially, what life would be without him fulfilling God's plan. That's the illustration I want you to see. See, God's got a plan for you, each and every one of you. And if we're not fulfilling God's plan, it may hinder you. It will affect you. But you know who it affects the most is people who are not saved. It's people who are going to hell. So if we're not living out our purpose, it's just the same thing. It's like not having a life at all. When God has this great and wonderful plan for us, but again, if we're not discerning that, we think, well, this is God's plan. Again, if God's given you a talent, he's given you abilities, then how are you sharing Christ? How are you sharing God's plan? And listen, you don't have to come busting through the doors, bang through the doors and be so bold and say, listen, give your life to Jesus or you're going to hell. Don't be stupid. Don't be dumb. Don't be silly. But there is a way to proclaim your message, who you are in Christ. There is an opportunity you're given. You don't have to beat people over the head. You can just begin to form a relationship with them. You know, you may have a coworker that comes on the job. God shares with you. You need to share with them your story. You may not want to go in there the first day and just give it to them, guns blazing. You may want to work into that. But God's given you the time and the place. Now it's time to proclaim. That's part of God's plan. And there are people in this community we are not reaching because we're failing to discern this plan. Mankind is our business. And it doesn't matter who they are. Red, yellow, black, white, creeds, it don't matter. God's put people in your path to share God's word, God's plan. God created man on this earth for the purpose of fellowship. Our plans destroyed that fellowship. God had plans to restore that fellowship and has done so through the blood of Jesus to redeem us so that we can have fellowship with God. And that's why Jesus came to this earth, is to restore fellowship with mankind. God loves not, he doesn't just love you, he loves all people. And that's why he gave his son. And when we fully get that into our heart and our spirit, and we understand that God truly does, he loves the Muslim. He loves the homosexual. He loves the drug addict. He loves the Democrat. He loves them more. He's got to. No, I'm just joking. All right, back up, lighten up. This is why Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, that's why he humbled himself to restore fellowship to God. That's his thing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. You don't get to pick and choose. Sometimes we do that. Well, this person I just love so much, I want them to receive the gospel. I want them to receive Jesus. I want them to receive God's plan. But you know what? You give all your effort to that one person and you forget all the other people that are around you. Why not spread it out a little bit? Why not spread it out? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's God's plan of redemption. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Why? To experience redemption. Doesn't matter the color. Doesn't matter the creed. It matters this. Will they receive Jesus? We don't get to pick and choose who gets saved. That's God's business. All we have to do is proclaim. Proclaim. I was going to go back to Luke's gospel, but I think verse 17. Now when they had seen him, this is the shepherds, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the Christ. Verse 18. And those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. Shepherds were not trained speakers. Now think, why Bethlehem? Why shepherds? Why not Jerusalem? Why not a priest? Why not a prophet? Why not someone who's a trained clergy member? Why not use that person instead of some shepherd out in the field who probably doesn't have an education? Why? Because God wants to use people, regular people, not just clergymen. We're normal too, believe it or not. But you don't have to have a title behind your name to proclaim the gospel. And I think what it shows is this, the relational element of the gospel, of God's plan. See, as much as I love church and I love for us coming here to celebrate God's presence, I believe this also is a hindrance to us of really fulfilling God's plan. Because we think this, we'll just invite people to church, and that's good, but they don't need church, friend. They need Jesus. Why aren't you proclaiming Jesus to them first? Well, that's your job. No, that's your job. See, that's the problem. You have a relationship with people. God's given you opportunity. I don't. Why not share God's plan with them? God's given you that pulpit to proclaim God's word. God chose shepherds, not trained men, to share the gospel, and they did so. Why? Because he knew this. God chose those shepherds because it wasn't based on them. It wasn't based on their abilities. It was based on their faith and their humility, and they would simply go and tell. And God is just looking for some people who will fulfill his plan and just go and tell. Is that you? Are you fulfilling God's plan? Are you proclaiming God's plan? I'm going to close there. Number one, are you born again? Are you born again? Well, Pastor, I believe in Jesus. No, that's not what I asked you. You must be born again. The Bible is very clear about that. In order to see the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Quote Jesus. That's what he said, not me. You must be born again. Well, how do I know if I'm born again? Has the polarity of your heart truly changed? And then also, that would have a direct influence on how we live our lives. I'm not asking you if you know, if you understand, if you're educated about the gospel. I'm asking, are you born again? If you are not born again, then you need to step into God's plan for your life. Give your life to Jesus once and for all. He's got a wonderful plan for you. Step into it. Your family needs you to step into it. Your friends need you to step into it. You need to step into it. Number two, if you're born again, are you proclaiming God's plan through your life? Are you proclaiming God's plan through your life?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life of the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and that your faith has been encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.